Hello, this is Lisa.
Hello, Lisa. This is Warnicki.
Well, hello. How are you?
Hello. It's good to hear you today.
Yes, I'm excited to be here tonight. Every night, every Thursday.
If it is today, at least you got something in which case it's no longer.
Chris, we're at the top of the hour, but we're at 6:30. We want to wait a minute or two? Or do you want me to go ahead and get started?
Yeah,
I'll wait till 6:32 and then I'll open up. Excuse me.
Good deal.
Hello.
Hi, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy. It's Sophia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I think Chris is on. Is Chris on?
I'm here.
Oh, hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, Sophie, how are you? How are you, Amy?
I'm doing good.
Good, thank you for coming and joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you, Amy.
No problem. I'm not great at this stuff, but I'll do my best.
You know what? None of us are.
No.
Okay, well, that's reassuring.
I do my best to just wing it and make it look good, and that's the best I can hope for.
These calls are always so encouraging, so thank you.
Yep.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Since I'm in the store right now, do you want to go ahead and open up and then give it over to Sophia so she can go ahead and do her 5 minutes as well?
Sure.
And then we'll turn it over to Amy, and then you'll come back and you'll close us out with your comments and prayer, okay?
All right, so I'm opening up. Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to our SOS conference call. If you're new here, welcome. If you're new here, welcome. And for those of you who don't know, SOS really stands for Standing on Scripture. And it's really simple. We'll just be everyone from the prayer wall. We welcome you to come on board. Come on, join us on a conference call to, every week it's different. We don't know what we're going to do. The Holy Spirit just kind of leads us and guides us. Half the time we don't know what we're doing, but all we do know is that we come on these conference calls. The Lord gives us something to share. Other people who call have things to share. So the Lord speaks through a variety of people on the conference calls. Tonight we're having Amy, who's going to share a little bit more of her testimony. You'd be surprised what the Lord does in these conference calls. But just, come and expect the Lord to speak to you, minister to your heart. Come with an open heart, an expectant heart, and you'll be amazed what the Lord will do. Having said that, I'll go ahead and open in prayer. And then I want to make one announcement real quick. If anybody who's on the conference call, if you know you have noise in the background or you're not sure, it does come in on this conference call, and it can just create some static. So if you, like dog barking, if you have some noise in the background, feel free to put yourself on mute. You can be in control of it. If you don't, then I have to mute you, and then I don't know if you want to jump in and say something, and then you're kind of listening in and not able to speak. So I prefer if everyone kind of self-monitors and put themselves on mute. That would be certainly helpful for all of us. So having said that, let me open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Father, we all come because we have a place in our hearts for our spouse. We have a place in our heart for you. But we really know, Father, that you're the only one we can turn to. And you promised us, amongst many promises, you said that if we turn our eyes towards you and seek your face, then you'll take care of everything else for us. And as long as our eyes are on you, then we don't have to worry about anything else. You'll keep us in perfect peace. So, Father, our eyes are on you. And sometimes we have one eye on our spouse as well. And we know, Lord, you're working on our hearts to make you number one in our heart. Father, we ask that you come into our conference call here, join us. You said if two or more are gathered in your name, you'll be here with us. So we welcome you into this conference call. Speak to us, through us. Speak to our hearts. Touch us in that place that only you can, that our spouses can't, only you can. And we look forward to hearing you speak through this conference call. And we want to thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, because we know that if we fall on you each and every time, you will always be there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we're standing on your promises. Sometimes we lean on your promises. Sometimes we just collapse on your promises, and that's all we have. So, Father, you know where each of our hearts are, and we know that our hearts are always, always, always going to be in your hands. And that's the safest place we can be. So here we are, Lord, seeking you, seeking your face, and looking for you to speak to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to get over to Sophia, who is here on the line with us.
Hello.
You take it away.
Okay. So in our conversations that we've had on Saturday, just kind of preparing for our conference calls on Thursdays, we felt like we were led to talk about idols, how we tend to make our marriage and our spouses an idol. And I know for myself, I can speak that, when God first called me to stand, of course it's a process, it's a journey that he's taking me on, but for a while I was making my husband and the marriage restoration an idol. I fully wasn't grasping that I had to really, really put God first. And the two Bible scriptures that came to mind was Exodus 34:14, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." God is a jealous God. He wants us to put him first above anything and anyone else. And it took me a while, to fully understand that. I think a lot of us are looking for our spouses to fill that void that only God can fill. And I truly, truly learn to just rely on him for everything. And it hurts me, on the prayer wall when I see so much hurt and people looking to their spouses to fill them, to fill that void that they're seeking. And yes, we get lonely. Yes, I've been there and I have my days too, but this is something that I've had to repent of. Putting my husband and putting my marriage before God. And it's, that's a sin that we're living in if we're not putting God first. And just, if you feel that this is speaking to you, pray to God to search your heart, to test you, to show you, what it is that you're doing wrong, what it is that you're putting before him, and he will show you. He's done it with me, and it took me a while to figure that out, And again, another scripture is Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So I don't know if my 5 minutes are up, but this is just something that I've experienced in my journey, and I've had to learn to completely seek God first above anyone or anything else and just completely depend and rely on Him for everything. I can tell you that when the divorce was finalized, before the divorce was finalized, and my husband had told me that he had already signed the papers, I had been looking for an apartment at a certain apartment complex, which is still close to his house and my parents' house. And for a long time, the apartment complex that I was looking for did not have, I had a certain number in mind that I didn't want to go over for paying my rent. And when I came that weekend with my mother-in-law to find this apartment, God provided with the apartment that I had been looking for such a long time. And every time I went on the website, they said it wasn't available, wasn't available, wasn't available. I came to see the apartment complex, and they had told me, yeah, we've had this unit available for a long time. And I'm like, okay, well, it wasn't showing up online. And every time I called, they said it wasn't available. So he made a way for me. I've just learned to just depend on him for everything. When I'm sad, when I'm hurt or when I'm angry, I turn to him that he can only give me what nobody else can. So that is my nugget for you guys this evening. Just seek him, put him first above anything or anybody else. He should always come first. God, spouse, family. God first above anything or anybody else.
Okay, thank you, Sophia. And we're going to just transition over to Amy here in a second. Does anyone want to make any comments or feedback or questions on anything that Sophia just said? Nope. Okay. Amy, you got the floor.
Okay. And I do totally agree with you, Sophia, on that one. Okay, I'm not sure, if there's anyone on here who didn't hear my testimony, so I'll kind of touch on it and expand a little bit, I guess. I guess I'll start at the beginning here. You know, we both, like most other people have said, came into our marriage with a lot of issues. My parents divorced when I was young, and I grew up in a really horrible stepfamily situation. And I kind of came out of that saying that I'm never going to let a man treat me like that, and I'm not doing it. And with that mindset, and my husband was abandoned as a child and had a whole string of issues. And so we both came in with that baggage thinking we were going to be different, and we weren't. So, I was a faithful wife. I took care of our house, our kids, but I really failed in major, major ways towards my husband. But I really didn't see it at the time. So, and like I said, it was in 2013, his brother was killed in a tragic car accident, and he had had some military events and some PTSD, and our marriage really just hit rock bottom. And then by the time 2014 rolled around, I had an in-home prodigal. In fact, Thanksgiving 2014, he told me he didn't love me anymore, and he was thinking of leaving, and that kind of just rocked my world. And I know I didn't share this a couple weeks ago. That night, I actually wrestled the entire night with God, because I wasn't happy. I was miserable, and I'm like, God, is this my way out? Can I get out? I want to be done. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be done. But by the end of the night, I had been up all night. God brought me to the place that I was going to stand and fight for my marriage, and I was going to submit to God. And from that moment on, this journey began, and God has changed me to the core, and he still is changing me day in and day out. But that's when it started, and of course it's gotten much worse before it got better, because he went from an in-home and he left in 2015. I actually took this is why I agree with RMM, don't listen to people, listen to God, because I actually took advice that seemed godly from my church, and I started confronting him on things and more tough love and stuff, and that's actually kind of what catapulted him out of the home. You know, and I wish I had found RMN before I took that advice, but I didn't until after he left. But I know God has sovereign and in control, and maybe this just had to happen this way, but it was awful. And I was pregnant at the time he left, newly pregnant with number five.
And I didn't really know about the other woman at the time. This it kind of unfolded over the year after he left. So he was so angry and cold. There, I remember he told me I was toxic, that there was, you know, why he pretty much only had love with me because I had his kids and just awful things. I actually read my journals this morning, and it kind of flooded back everything that I walked through, but it also showed me how much I've changed, because I went from a very angry, hurt woman to now I'm healed and restored in the Lord, and so I want to praise God for that. I really just dove into Scripture. I poured my heart out to God, and I remember after there was a huge blow for my husband. This was after he left, but something really bad happened. God gave me Jeremiah 32:37-42, and it just talks about how he was going to promise that he was going to bring him back and make him dwell in safety, that he would be Gus's, that's my husband's name, his God, and that, you know, that he would be his God and he would be his people, that he'd give him one heart and one way, that he would fear him forever for his own good and the good of his children after him. And I clung to that promise ever since that day. And the weird thing is, too, like even over the past year when I've been struggling, I did one of those blind things where on my phone. First time I got it was in a paper Bible, but this time I know it sounds weird, but it was on my phone. I said, God, you have to give me something. I kind of closed my eyes and just passed, and that's the scripture I got again. So that was just God reaffirming it to me. You know, and God just continued to give me scripture throughout it, like to shut down the lies of the enemy. And one thing I really felt led to share tonight, because I know it's a really big battle for most of us standards, and it's the other person. And, you know, I had some contact with her early on, and she said some horrible things that took me a long time to overcome, and I just want to share some scriptures that God really helped me to deal with it, because his promises are true. That can't last. It can't stand. It's against God. So one of the main ones he gave me was Psalm 127:1, and that was, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. So, and obviously God is not building those homes. So Proverbs 12:3, no one can be established on wickedness. Proverbs 13:21, disaster pursues sinners. So I always see it as, like, disaster pursues that sin. It's not going to succeed. Psalms 28:5, because they do not regard the work of the Lord nor the operations of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Let's see here. Proverbs 12:21, no harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. And Job 4:8, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble will reap the same. And then Psalm 37:1 is also one of my favorites. It's, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. And even like the Proverbs scriptures about how in the beginning their lips will drip honey and they turn bitter as wormwood. I clung to these scriptures because, you know, as standards we get hit with a lot of thoughts and struggles and because of the other people. And I just clung to those promises. And you know what? I've seen it all come to pass. I've been hearing it from my husband's mouth and stuff. It's true. God's word is true. It's true to the core. You can trust every promise in God's word. And another thing that really helped me in the beginning is from another marriage ministry. They talked about a 30-day psalm reading plan. And so you read the psalms through in 30 days. So like on the first of the month, you read the first psalm, the 31st psalm, the 61st psalm, the 91st, and so on. Like, so that ignited my faith. That helped me, just the psalms. I have to say that was one of the biggest things that helped me. Let me see, where was I on my testimony? And at the end of 2017 is when he started softening towards me a little bit, little by little. Kind of my oldest son actually got diagnosed with diabetes. I had shared that, and kind of around that time he started softening a little bit, but it was still an extreme back and forth. It was just a little bit. And about 1 year ago, God gave me the scripture. It's Jeremiah 51:36, I believe. And it said, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her seas and make her seas dry. And I just, once again, leaning towards the other person's issue, I just took that he was going to dry up anything good in that home. And it was going to come to an end. And about 6 or 7 months ago, little by little, my husband really, really started, you know, talking about coming home and things. And then suddenly was about a month ago when things really started moving. The other woman contacted me, and I didn't respond out of respect for my husband. And he started talking about homeware, and last Monday he actually brought a very large amount of his clothing home. So praise Jesus. So when I came home and saw that, I cried. And so actually he told me to unpack everything and take everything out of the bag, so I did. And I washed everything because I wanted it to smell like home, and it didn't. So I washed everything like 3 times. And actually as I was washing his clothes, I'm thinking, I'm washing the external here, the clothing, and this is what God's doing on the inside of him and me right now too. He's taking and creating in him a clean heart as well. So I just got that thought while I was doing that, and I thought it was neat. And he's just been opening up more. Like Friday, he even sent me a song. I really only listen to Christian music, but I'll take this one because it was pretty good. It's Thank God for This Woman, Amen, by Dirk Bentley. Forgive me if I'm pronouncing his name wrong. And that just really touched my heart. And I just can't believe the changes I'm seeing in him. I always knew God would bring him home, but I really thought it would be a long, long time from now. And today he actually spent the day here with us, and he was talking about he needed more hangers for the closet and just stuff about, like, he's really planning on coming home. And another huge, huge praise, I hadn't shared this yet, is when this all started for the anniversary, I bought him a ring, an inscribed ring, to kind of replace his wedding ring because it wasn't fitting right. And he never wore it on his ring finger. He always wore it on the other hand. And he wore some band he got, I don't know, it wasn't from me, on his actual ring finger. And I mentioned something a couple weeks ago, how that always bothered me. And he didn't say anything, but when he came to the house today, he had it on his ring finger. And that just really touched my heart. So God's answering these little prayers, and he hears every detail. There's a couple I just really, and another thing I really wanted to encourage everyone on tonight, something that's really helped me in my walk, is to really take control of your thoughts, to really just think and speak God's promise and not really focus on the lies of the enemy. One thing I really learned about halfway through the stand, I wish I had learned it earlier, is to stop breaking my own heart. I think I actually read it on an RMM post, to stop breaking your own heart, someone had posted. And it really just struck me, because our flesh wants to really think those thoughts, to surmise, what are they doing? It wants to think on our hurt, dwell on our hurt, dwell on our pain. And I really learned that to take those thoughts captive. And sometimes it's hard, but you just have to stop. Just, you know, cease those thoughts, just stop them. It's the only way to really live in joy and to focus on God's promises. And like Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is lovely and pure, you know, that scripture, and, you know, noble and just think on those things. Think of the promises God has given you, and it will get easier. That's what's really helped me through this walk. I just don't think about it. I don't let myself go there. I don't break my own heart anymore. Because I just, instead, I think that all about scripture, all through the Psalms, all through scripture, it says that God's the one who does it. He's the one who makes the wars to cease. He destroys the weapons of war. He turns the enemy back. He frustrates all the craftiness. He changes hearts and minds. He's the one who performs miracles without wonder. These are all scriptures from like Psalms and I think in Job and stuff. And you know, it's really not being a doormat or enabling to show God's love. It's allowing God to be God. It's allowing him to cease the war that we're facing in these battles and just trusting him. You know, like Sophia said, just focus on God and let him be first. Mm-hmm. He'll handle it. He's got it. He is in control. And I just have so many things that have happened over these last 1.5 years. And I know, like, a couple weeks ago, someone had asked, like, why our stands are so long and some aren't. I don't have the answer for that either, but I can honestly say that God has used my stand in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. During these 4 years, my mom's marriage got in trouble. My sister's marriage fell apart. And because I was standing, I was able to help them, and they both have restored marriages right now. And I can't explain, like, even with people in my church, like, I've been able to help, and just people are watching, and God will get the glory. That's just one thing I can say. We might not have the answers, but God is faithful, and he'll do it. He'll be faithful. He'll get the glory. So, I mean, I'm not sure what else to share tonight. But
can we have an opportunity to maybe ask some questions?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And also, if there's something we ask and you really don't want to answer, feel free to just say, you know, and to protect my husband's, you know, privacy or his spirit, however you want to respond. We understand that.
We have about
15.
So much has happened,
yeah.
Okay.
So there might be a lot of questions. So we have about 15 to 20 minutes, I guess. And Chris, you want to monitor the question, or you want me to do it, or? Because you know
you
I'm a good timekeeper.
Go ahead. Yeah, cause I'll go over time.
I'm gonna ask real quickly. And I know Amy, it might be hard, but you know, the shorter the answer, the more questions we can get in. So,
okay.
Do you recall anything with regard to your letting go moment or process?
That's a hard one, because I honestly don't know if I've ever made it. Sometimes I wonder, but I know from the very, very beginning, God never let me be angry towards my husband. I had to continually show him love, and I've just had to give everything to God. So I guess that has been my way of letting it go to God and trusting him and leaning into him. I can't think of an exact moment, but I've had to, because I haven't had a choice, to be honest. Because otherwise I couldn't function and be a mom to my kids if I didn't. That part of that process of taking every thought captive and just stopping my thoughts and giving it to God. So I think it's been more about part of the whole process for me, I think. That answers.
Hi, this is Warnicki. I would be interested in maybe some of your thoughts or your learning about interacting with your children and all of this, and what you might have shared with them about your stand or how you approach discussing this topic with them.
Okay. One piece of advice my pastor gave me is you don't have to, and I actually clung to this and I found it has helped, is I don't have to tell them anything they don't need to know and anything they don't ask. So honestly, my children never knew about me. I was in a fortunate place that he didn't involve them. And so they never actually knew about the other person and still don't. They may one day, but they don't now. And they did know about my stand. I was clear and about my stand. I walked with them through the Bible and the scripture about marriage, about forgiveness, about everything. And I have to say, I have watched my children grow in the Lord. They have stood with me. I have watched my daughter's heart transform for the Lord. She is, I can't even describe the things that have happened, the things that have come from her that have helped me when I've been down. I mean, it's just that I've been pretty open, but I don't tell them more than they need to know. And I have seen them grow through it. I haven't seen them harmed at all from it at all. God has really been with them and kept their heart soft and forgiving towards their father. And I also think that's part of us as standards. If we walk that way, our children will follow, tend to, you know, follow that if we don't speak bad of our spouse and, you know, forgive. I think they see that. Does that help?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Hello, this is Lee. Two of the scripture verses that you mentioned happen to be one of my favorite, or two of them are my favorites, but I missed the other references, and I'm wondering if you could give them again.
Was it the one? Okay, I can give you a list of them. Yeah, it's Psalm 127:1,
mm-hmm.
Proverbs 12:3, Proverbs 13:21, Psalms 28:5. I don't know if I said that one, but let's see, Proverbs 12:21, Job 4:8, Psalms 37:1, and I probably threw out a couple other ones, but.
Thank you.
Jeremiah 32:3 is the one that I really stood on.
Jeremiah 32?
Yeah, 37 through 42, I think.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you also mention Philippians 4:8 as well?
Yep, that was another one. And the one, I think it's 2 Corinthians, I don't think I know, and for the taking every thought captive and the refuting arguments, I think that's in 2 Corinthians, if I'm correct. I didn't think I wrote that one down.
Thank you.
Is it possible to post all of those on the RMM wall?
Yeah, I can probably put up a post. I don't think they'll complain about scripture.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I have Sophia. A question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Could you tell me more about whenever your thoughts, especially on the circumstances, and how did you just let it go? I mean, how did you give it to God? Did you pray? Did you read scripture? What did you do to get your mind off of it?
Prayer and scripture. I spent, hours on my face on the floor before God. I get up. I mean, you make time, I guess, if you have to. I spent time. My kids have been great. I'll go in the closet upstairs, and I hide and cry out to God. That's how I survive, is the scripture. Like I said, that 30-day psalm reading the psalms through in 30 days helped me, because David certainly felt, King David and them, they all felt those emotions that we feel, the overwhelming and ones, and lots of prayer, lots and lots.
Mm-hmm.
And journaling, too. I would journal out my anger and my emotions as well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Amy, I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I've got a couple of questions, because these seem to be kind of common with prodigals when they come home. Was there any indication from your husband? Were there any hints or suggestions or any indication whatsoever that he was thinking of coming home? Was there any communication? Anything of any kind, or was it just a literally, purely, suddenly moment when he just called you out of the blue and said, I'm dropping stuff off?
Yeah, I did have some, only because I mean, he's been saying probably about 6 or 7 months here and there he was thinking of coming home, but I've got very little from him. He's a closed book, to be honest, so it's been a lot of patience, and I didn't know he was actually physically ready to move home until he called and said that, or texted me and said he was dropping stuff off. So that came out of nowhere. And it was probably when I was feeling wanting to give up, one of the down days, to be honest. It kind of came out of nowhere, because I still have those. I know I'm in the process of restoration, but it's still, there's the battle here too. I know other people can say that. So
has he shared, and again, like Lisa said, feel free to, you know, withhold if you feel necessary, but has he shared anything with you of perhaps his moment where he decided, I'm going to go home? And another question, what was his state of mind during that time? Was he really enjoying his, you know, partying and living the way he was, or was he really being tormented by what he had done and the things that he had said to you?
He hasn't told me the moment he decided yet. Like, he's still pretty, he's still not super open about everything. However, I know for the first couple years he was really enjoying himself. You know, it's in his pleasurable first season, I guess he was really enjoying himself. But I would say probably for the past year he's been really deeply tormented. I've seen it in him and just the comments and things that he would let out. And he even has gone as far to say that he knows this other person was a complete trap of the enemy and not deceived, and it's not good, and, you know, a lot of things like that. So I think, and, you know, I know he really misses his family. So, because, I mean, he hasn't even had a relationship with his children for the past 4 years either. So he has a lot to come back to.
Yeah, a lot of rebuilding.
A lot, yeah. I mean, their heart is incredibly soft in wanting him to come home, which is a huge blessing. And he's been, actually, the past month, like I said, when that contact came and that shift happened, he's been making a conscious effort. He FaceTimes the kids a lot and is making much more of an effort to be there. So,
okay.
Which is huge.
Was your husband a Christian before your marriage situation happened, or?
He was saved after we were married. I would say I was backslidden when we got married, or I wasn't really walking with the Lord. But I straightened up before him, and then he got saved, I think, in 2007, and was, like, baptized in our church and a big, pretty big part of member of our church and stuff. So, there was a lot of changes that happened in him, but just that year, that 2013, with his brother in the military and PTSD, he just took a dive. He just really spiraled downhill. So,
okay.
Well,
I cut somebody off and had a question. My apologies. Someone had a question.
No, okay. Yeah.
That was it on my side. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you ever make mistakes? And with him, and if you did, how did it dissipate? Like, how were the wrongs made right?
Oh, did I make mistakes? Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. I made so many mistakes in my stance. And you know what? No one will be perfect. There's times I dumped temper on him. I mean, said things I shouldn't have said. Like, I tried to manipulate him in the beginning before I guess that was before I let go. I would try to manipulate things. I had to apologize to him. I repented to him when I did. And I have to say, a lot of the times God used it for good. Okay. God was really faithful, has been faithful in this. A lot of times he used it for good. Not always. Sometimes I had to pay the consequences for things I said and did, but a lot of times God did turn it around and use it for good. So, but yeah, don't expect yourself to be perfect. Oh, my goodness, there's none of us will do this perfectly, ever.
Okay.
This is a really hard thing to do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You had indicated that your husband was pretty harsh to you as an in-home prodigal. Did that treatment continue the 4 years he was gone? And if not, when did it change?
I can't even describe how cruel he was. And yes, after he left, it continued. Actually, he was just pretty much gone after he left. Like I said, I was pregnant, and I recall he was at the hospital when I had the baby, and he dropped me off when I got discharged and left me with the four kids, a baby, no help, and no pain medicine or anything. Like, didn't even take the time to get my pain medicine or anything, and that's how gone he was from us. And, like, so, I mean, And yeah, it continued, and like I said, I probably about 2017, so a few years in is when it started to really, he started to kind of soften, that wall started to come down little by little. I saw little cracks coming, so.
Was it anything you did to initiate that, or did you just need to wait and God worked on him?
I had to wait, and I just honestly had to show love, like, just keep showing love, keep forgiving, keep, you know, just waiting. A lot of patience.
Amen. Amen.
A lot of patience. Even right now is a lot of patience because, like, okay. So, I get it.
Did you share your story, like, when you were going through your journey? Talk about the zipping the lips part. Like, were you sharing your story with a lot of people? And I also want to know about when you kind of felt like that whole forgiveness, because that's a lot of forgiving that had you had to do.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot. Zipping the lips, it was hard in my situation because my church, he was part of the church. And like my pastor and my pastor's wife were our best friends. And he was a member, so of course they had to publicly, after a while, once they realized he abandoned his family, they had to publicly remove him from the membership list. And I almost left the church over that, but I stuck it out because, whatever, I argued over it, but I stuck it out. But I never told anyone why that he was, I never told anyone about the other person, I never, except for my closest, you know, my support. I covered him as much as I possibly could. So I want him to be able to walk back in there into church when he comes home eventually. And my pastor actually has supported my stand. I'm lucky enough to have a church that doesn't believe in divorce or remarriage or anything. So they have supported me. They may not have always agreed with my continual showing of love and openness to him, but they've supported me. And walked with me and stuff, and they're really excited to see the things that are happening too. So, there was another question in there too, wasn't there? I think that you would ask besides the zipping the lips, right, or and stuff.
And the forgiveness. I know forgiveness is a process.
It is.
And I don't know if you had anything you wanted to share on that. You never actually got divorced, though, right?
He just no, kinda... I don't know how that didn't happen. I don't know, because he was getting so much pressure to divorce me. I really don't know.
And you didn't have to do, like, dropping the kids off with him to exchange and none of that?
No, because he never even had an interest in them.
Okay.
And, I mean, that's I don't know which is worse, but... I mean, I think it did protect my kids because he was a mess, you know? But, so no, I didn't. Like, I've been a full-time single parent the whole time. He hasn't been involved. So, well, so let's say the forgiveness, like you said, it was a process. And I, even reading my journals this morning, I can see the process that it took. And it's ongoing. I mean, it's still ongoing because I even listened to Lisa Turker still one day, and she said she had to forgive for the incident, but now she has to forgive for the impact. And I really like that because it's true. Like, I forgive him for this act and the abandonment and stuff, but there's an impact. There's a financial impact. There's an emotional. There's things that trigger me and trigger emotions. There is an impact, and there will be an impact as he comes home. Like, even going through his clothes, I'll share something. I found circus tickets in his pocket from 2016. Well, that's just after I had the baby and he was gone, so obviously he took her kids to the circus. So I'm like, that hit me really, really to the core, and I just had to pray and give it to God. I never said anything to him, and I won't. So I'm like, I actually was grateful that I found him because it's helping me to prepare for the homecoming and these things coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to forgive, and so it is. It's ongoing. It really is. But just seeing him through God's eyes and seeing the brokenness instead of the hurt he's causing, and seeing that has helped me to forgive him and to have mercy, and just prayer helps me. Whenever I pray, God just softens my heart towards him. That's another important part of prayer, like as we pray for that person, that he really softens our heart.
I have a question.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing your testimony. I was wondering that when your age came home, or in the process of coming home, is your Dan, like what you used to do when he left, are you still doing the same thing, like going to your closet and praying, or...
Oh, definitely. I think I'm praying more right now because I'll be honest, because he's not physically home yet. He's in the process of getting here that way. And just it's, you know, as soon as, like, the reality of him coming home, a lot of, you know, Satan has hit me with a lot of fear, and because I know, like, even finding those tickets. And so I've been actually trying to pray and fast more and really just be prepared, and I know when he comes home it can't change either, so cause that's going to be a challenge too. So no, it hasn't changed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Okay.
Amy, did you go through a period of no contact?
I didn't ever have no contact except for weekends and vacations and holidays. I had no contact. I had minimal, like I might have gotten one text, you know, in the morning or something, and that's it, like for the day. For a long time, that's how it was, but it was never like zero, except for weekends and holidays and extended vacations. And we know why.
I have a question. Did you ever just, like, really go off on him?
Yes. That's what I want to know.
I don't think I ever went off in anger.
You didn't?
Not in anger. Not, like, how dare you or how dare you abandon. Like, I don't think those words ever came out. They went out in my journal, not to him. However, it's more the hurt. I've dumped on him. So it's just as bad because I've dumped on him to hurt. Like, of me and the kids and, you know, what we're going through, I have gotten emotional and dumped on him that way. I never lashed out. I don't know why, how God stopped me, but he did stop me from lashing out in anger. And some of that might have been a little bit because I know how, with the PTSD, my husband can get pretty rageful towards the end. He got, so I think maybe I was restrained a little more because of that, to be honest.
Is that part of your personality, though, too, that you're not
I'm not, like, a really big confronter, to be honest. Okay. So it could be partly that.
Okay.
But, I mean, I did have to restrain my lips. But, I like I said, I was probably more the where I would dump, like, my hurt on him. And he did not receive that well. He would get really angry, too. Now he'll take it when I do, but... Because I still do every now and then. See, none of us are perfect. Well, so God uses it. I have to say he's used it, so.
Did you get to a point where when you were praying, did you feel like, did you ever feel like you are tired of praying? And if you ever felt that way, like, what did you do about it?
I've gotten to the point where I'm done. I mean, I got to the point, I know one day, I think it was even just last year, I took every picture down in the house. I took every memorial down, everything that ever had anything to do with him. I was done. I've been done. I've been done praying the same prayers. Like, it's, yeah, it happens. Usually God doesn't let me. He somehow just softens my heart. He's been really faithful. to just soften my heart when I get to that point and do something. But I never stop really praying because I don't just pray for him. I have so much to pray for, and I love that time with the Lord. So somehow usually in that time he turns it around and takes that anger away, where I'll keep praying for my husband, to be honest. So, yeah, I have had that a lot. This isn't easy. So I think we all struggle with it.
Did you ever, during your stand, like, express to him that you love him?
Tell him I love him? Yeah, I did. I did. I think, honestly, I never stopped telling him. I think I would text it to him still, even though his phone would be off, because, like, he had a phone with her and a phone for here. Like, she didn't know he was still talking to me, to be honest. So I would just text, I love you, good night, to the phone every night, and I didn't get a response. Obviously, he never returned. He actually started returning, and I love you, about a year and a half ago. I would get one every once in a while. Now I get them daily from him. So, like I said, it was little by little. So, but I know, he knew I was standing. He knew I wasn't giving up. Even though I wanted to tell him I was giving up and walking away, well, I never did. I don't think there's ever anything wrong with telling someone you love them, just as long as you're not expecting it in return. So just be prepared, because it does hurt when it doesn't come back. So
I gave up saying that. I used to do that, but then I gave it up. And I always want to say it, but I'm just like,
I don't think there's any harm. I mean, pray about it. God's the ultimate answer. But, I mean, that one counselor said that there's never anything wrong with showing someone God's love. It's not like you're not a doormat. You're not. Yeah, I guess it's just in our expectation of receiving it back. If you're just giving God love, there's nothing wrong with telling that we love him, you know.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, that would be my answer.
What if your age or your wife doesn't want you to say? Because I've said it before, and I was consistent with it, and he told me not to tell them, and I mean, out of respect.
Yeah, I think maybe out of respect. See, that's why it's so individual, and really just pray about it. So, because I don't know, I think I probably would respect my husband if he asked me not to, but I don't know. I'd have to pray about it and see, because you don't want to anger them more or push them away more. So, every situation can be so different, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, are there any more burning questions? Because I think we're probably tired out Amy a little bit here.
Okay.
All right. Well, Amy, we truly appreciate everything that you have shared. I know it's been a benefit, a help to all of us on this call tonight.
I'm
going to
go
ahead and give it. Yeah. Definitely.
I didn't think I'd be here giving a testimony. So don't give up. Like, I didn't think I'd be here. You know, my situation was impossible the way it was, so just don't give up. God's real. He's faithful.
Okay.
There's one thing I want to share, and then I'm going to give it over to Tris, and he's going to do the rest. And that is, I am doing a study on the power of our words. And we talked about this last week on death and life is in the power of the tongue. And I've been listening to different ones talk, and I'm studying right now about how did Jesus heal people. Specifically, I heard on a call last night where people would say things like,
I thank God for healing me from cancer. Well, I'm studying this right now, but something about that statement doesn't set right in my spirit, in the sense that, first of all, you're agreeing with whatever report has come out to say you have this disease or sickness. And then you're saying, I'm thanking him for my healing. So that's a good thing, but then you agree with the sickness, which cancels out the positive piece. So you speak both death and life, and so you mm-hmm. make no progress. And I'm, like I said, I'm studying this right now, but I really, really, really want us to be very careful with what we say or type or whatever, talk to other people about. As I think about the saying, you might say something like, I thank you, God, for removing the other woman from my husband. And you kind of just connected the other woman to your husband, and then you're also thanking him for removing her. And that's why I say I'm praying about it. I'm studying it right now. So I just encourage you all to also study and see what God speaks to you in your spirit concerning your words. I wish I could do a word fast, to be honest with you. Then I knew I wouldn't make any mistakes. But anyhow, Chris, I'll give it over to you.
I just want to say real quick, God had just put that on my heart, so that was really neat. And he kind of showed me to say thank you that my marriage is perfect. Thank you that my husband loves me. Thank you that there is no other woman. Mm-hmm. So instead of connecting, you know what I mean? So I think that really is a confirmation. Yeah. And instead of saying connecting them, I just want to say that. Yeah. It's exciting.
And we stand in the gap for in our covenant. So I used to say, create in me, God, a clean heart. But now I say, Father, create in my husband and I, because we're supposed to be one. We mm-hmm. are one. Yes. We are one. So we share that heart. And I said, God, create in us a clean heart in my marital covenant. Father, I decree and I declare that we are one. And I seal it with the redemptive blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll agree with what Lisa just said. In my prayers, when I pray for, you know, RMM has a section on the website where you could plug in your spouse's name, and then it'll automatically give you the scriptures with your spouse's name in there, so you can pray over them. I pray scriptures over both of us, because just like Lisa mm-hmm. said, we are one flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, I received a piece of paper from the court back in December, just a few months ago. For me, nothing has changed. For me, absolutely nothing. When I see my wife came over for dinner tonight, I treat her as my wife. This morning she sent me some texts treating me like her husband. Mm-hmm. It's very awkward. It's uncharted territory because you're living, you know, in this condition of treating each other like husband and wife, but you're not living together, and you have this piece of paper that claims something different. That's not true. So I pray those scriptures with both of our names in there because we are one flesh. But back to what Lisa said, I'm going to give you guys two verses to jot down. If you're taking notes, or if you're not, grab something. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and it will be done for you. Mark 11:24. I have one more for you. These are, again, we have to be careful what we say, because our words do carry power both in the spiritual realm. Job 22:28. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your way. So if we could declare things, and whatever we declare, those things happen, how much more then are the negative things that we say?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're speaking negative things about, you know, complaining about our spouses, they're doing this and they're doing that, and, you know, and my ex-husband or my ex-wife, I have never referred to my wife in the former as an ex. Never. I refuse to. I'll go to my grave not saying that. That's a decision I've made, and I'm standing on that, and I treat her as my wife. Ring stays on. She came over tonight, pulled into her spot in the garage. She always does when she comes over. You know, I treat her like just like my wife. Not for me, nothing has changed. I look at her,
I see my wife. I don't see anybody else. I see my wife. So it really is, you know, pray about those things, guys, because when your heart reflects that kind of an attitude towards your spouse, they see it, they feel it, they sense it. And your prayers will be impacted and affected by what's in your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, what are we speaking? We're speaking prayers. So are the prayers that we're speaking or saying over our spouses, are they coming from a heart of, I've accepted what Satan threw at me, or I refuse to accept what Satan threw at me? So that's, you know, I don't want to get into a long thing. You know I can go on. One more thing before we go into prayer.
I have one too, before you go.
Sure, go ahead. Okay.
I've pulled up the RMM scriptures, and I read them over my husband and myself every night. And there's one scripture, though, that I had to take my name out of, and I'll tell you why. It's the Hosea 2:6-7. Therefore, I will block, you know, your spouses with thorn bushes. I will wall them in so that they cannot find their way. It's the last sentence where it says, I will go back to, I took my name out of there, and I put, I will go back to my God as at first, because I want him. God should come first, not me. God.
Wow.
And he needs to go back to God first, for he was better off when he was with God than what he is now. So I took my name out of there, and I put God first.
That's good.
I like that one. Thank you, Sophia.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that one tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Any other comments? Real quick, a couple of things. Dave, the Dave that I emailed earlier this week, if you're on this call, I want to give you a shout-out because you said you were interested in doing conference calls. Here we are. Are you here? No, I guess not. Okay, I was hoping he would be. Number two, next week we have another testimonial that we're lining up. I don't want to say too much about it. Another restored marriage. I have confirmation. I want to confirm it one more time, make sure we're set for next week. But if you know of anyone else on the prayer wall, you're communicating with anyone, you might want to let them know we have another testimonial next week coming up. So whatever you can do, same time, same place next week, put on the calendar, make room. You got to come and hear it. It's going to be great. God is setting up so much for this conference call. It's all the Lord. I don't know what I'm doing with this conference call. I'm just doing the best that I can. I know Sophia and Lisa are doing a fantastic job. So we're just, you know what, we're just like you. We're standing for our marriages. We're doing the best that we can, letting the Lord lead us and guide us. And we're doing our best, but the Lord is doing some great things with these conference calls. I cannot believe that we have these testimonials that are just coming up, and they're filling the time slots. For us to do that. So thank you, Amy, for your time. You did a phenomenal job. Thank you. Appreciate it. I know many of the callers here also feel the same way. So we thank you for your time. We certainly appreciate it. I'm sure it wasn't easy, and you know, but we appreciate it all the time. Anything else before I go into prayer and we close out?
Chris, Amy gave the scripture in Matthew 6:33, I think, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
I gave that one in the beginning, yeah.
Oh, was that you? Okay, I couldn't remember. Sophia gave that scripture, and just kind of going back to what she was saying, it's easier to have God make a change in you than it is to have God make a change in your spouse. And by that, what I mean is, instead of asking God to change my situation or to remove the other woman or anything like that, I have now started praying, Father, give me peace, give me your peace that I may be able to go through this journey, and let me become your love, let me become love. So, and I'm a willing vessel, and he does it right away, immediately. I feel the peace of God because I've asked him to change me, and I'm willing. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there again, that we're to seek Christ in our journey first, before we're seeking our mate. So, Chris, go ahead and close us out.
Amen. Okay. Do we have any men on this call that would be interested in closing us out with prayer? Okay. Then here we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this conference call. We thank you for making it possible. We thank you for bringing all of us together here in Jesus' name, that we might come and worship you and honor you and glorify you through our hearts of seeking after you. And Father, sometimes we know that you use those things that are closest to our hearts to get our attention, and you certainly did, and here we are. Father, we want to thank you for this amazing work that you're doing in Amy's life and marriage. We thank you for that. We thank you for these testimonials. You're working every single day, and I think that I believe and I know that Amy's testimonial is one of thousands and thousands that we don't know about, and you're constantly working on every single day, and you are restoring. Divorces are being canceled. Spouses are coming home here in America and throughout the world. Just because we don't hear about it doesn't mean that they're not happening. They are happening. We want to thank you, Father, for showing us glimpses of the mighty work that you're doing in marriages everywhere, Father. And you're not just reduced to one here and one there. So we thank you, Father, because you never fail us. You always will be with us and for us. And you'll as long as we stand in the gap for our spouses, for our marriage, and seek you first and continue walking in faith and obedience to you, you are guaranteeing that you will do those things you said you would do. Your word says it. They're not my words. They're not my false beliefs. They are in black and white, your words out of your mouth. And we know that you're not a man that you should lie. And you are faithful time and time again. Just as Amy has also testified that every single one of your promises, every single one of your promises, you have fulfilled. So we thank you for that, Father. We thank you. Father, we pray that as we continue our walk between now and next Thursday's conference call, I want to bless every single man and woman on this prayer conference call, that every single husband and wife are standing for the marriage on this this prayer wall with RMM, and also throughout the whole world, Father. Every single husband and wife are standing for their marriages, Father. We pray that you will continue strengthening them, speak to them every single day, show them your way, your truth. Father, build up faith, hope, and trust in you in the thousands of ways that you have to do that and accomplish your task, because you promised even in that you would take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. So, Father, we're standing on those promises, and we pray also for every single prodigal who's out there that you continue speaking to their hearts, tugging at their hearts, moving circumstances in their hearts and their lives to point their hearts back to you first, and then back to us and our marriages and our homes and our families. Father, we are leaning on you. We're trusting in you. We're giving you everything we've got. And you know that we know that you are compassionate towards us. When we make mistakes, when we trip and fall, you're always there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we thank you for his promises, Father. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory for all that you have done and for all that you will do. I know my wife is on her way home. I know you're going to bring her home. In my heart, she's already home. I'm waiting for your timing. And I know there's many others on this call who are in the same position where they believe and they know they're just waiting and expecting you to do it any day now. So, Father, we stand on that, and we thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, because first, you're bringing us closer to you, and second, our spouses will follow. We know that. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, thank you, everyone, for coming. Have a great, God-blessed week. We'll see you next Thursday night. We'll also see you on the prayer wall. God bless. Take care.
Thank you.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.